Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is a Preakness time around here and a celebration, including a celebration of all of our sponsors, including our friends at Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast. I picked up some fried chicken. I'm not going to lie, over the weekend, I've been cutting it up and putting it on salad. My wife's been away, so I'm trying to go easy here. Nothing easier than just stopping at Rofo. I even managed to fill my gas tank up before the crises this week at the Rofo down on Key Highway. Todd Schuller is our friend, our sponsor, our partner, all good things at Blondell Miller Schuller and damngoodlawyer.com. Yes, they handle workers' comp. Yes, they take care of accident. If you get in an accident, you want to call them. They're our friends from Essex. But I would think this is one of the big weeks of the year. Todd, I had Bill Cole was around here this week. I had both Bill Coles on this week, by the way. But the Bill Cole from Cole Roofing said, man, this is like a holiday for Schuller, man. This is the big one. So this is your this is the Super Bowl in the Schuller house, right? Like, this is a big day for you.
This is like half Super Bowl, half Christmas. You know, once the Christmas lights come down, we start planning Preakness in the Schuller household. Once Preakness is over, we start planning the Christmas light display from poolside. But yeah, this, you know, my wife and I have probably had a Preakness party for better than 20 years or 20 years. I guess we haven't been around for 20 years, 16, 17 years we've been married. So that's how long we've been.
Did she even know what the Preakness was being from Cleveland? I mean, like,
no,
My wife didn't know a lot about the Preakness and loved horses. Knew. Oh, she's like, yeah, that's the one after the Derby. Yeah, that's the one after the Derby. That's the one.
Yeah, we're a local phenomenon. We tend to think, at least I do, that, you know, the whole world's watching, and certainly the horse people are, and the Louisville crowd is. But by and large, I mean, right? Not everybody's watching us. The horse racing world has their eyes on Baltimore, but the horse racing world is not a very big one. So,
well, that was the reason there is a Triple Crown, right? Like, the Baltimore part of it in the 60s and 70s, 50s, 60s. I mean, before that, I don't know what it was like in the 30s and 40s, but I know it was a pretty big deal around here in the 50s, 60s, and 70s when 100,000 people are showing up out there. And I went through all of the running of the urinals with Mickey Coachella and all of that. But your experience of Preakness is different than that, right? Like, this has become a little bit of a homespun thing for you, right?
Well, yeah, I did all the crazy stuff in the college years and stuff like that. But once my wife and I bought, you know, our first house, we started to have a Preakness party. And it's grown, and it's gone from the wild kegger into 40 kids running around the backyard.
A little, you know, more genteel. It's a picnic.
It's
like a day at Saratoga.
The kids are crazier than we ever were when we were, you know, in the kegger days, you know, but yeah, they hot, you know, water balloon fights and whatever, you know, madness they get into, as the youngins. But, yeah, it's a good deal. I mean, we really have a good time. It's our chance to kind of catch up with people we haven't seen throughout the year. As my father always said, you have to have one big party every year just so you get the house cleaned up, you know. Otherwise, you get a little dusty. You get those cobwebs in the corners.
Good point. Especially with all the masks and whatnot. So this is we're getting to that point, right? I mean, we talk about it all the time. I talk about it with all my sponsors and regular people that are regular walks of life for all of us wearing masks in every format of what we're doing. I got my second shot last week. I'm feeling a little Jones about this crab cake tour and getting out. I'm really excited about getting out on the state and seeing things I've never done before. It's inspiring to me, but then there's these things that I've always done, right? Orioles games, Ravens schedule. They're playing in Vegas in September. I'm holding flights for that. I'm trying to get rooms together, an event out there. So all of this normalcy, I mean, the Capitals have playoff games, all this normalcy is happening. And yet somehow I think we're all wondering where the change in us is, right? 15 months into this, somehow I want to go fishing because I've never fished. I want to go crabbing because I haven't crabbed. I want to go bird watching because I haven't gone bird. It's really weird to me because I feel like, all right, this has been a really interesting pregnant pause in my life. And if I ever want to go to a ball game again, it's there, and I'm sure I will. And I just got my Ravens ask about tickets. Are you going to the games this year? And the first question is, how much? You know, like, I mean, you know, what's my level of investment, and when are the games, and what day is that, and where will I be? So I think all of us have had that pregnant pause. Some of us are dying to get back to a Stones concert or Merriweather or all those things. Some of us are dying to have our friends over for a Preakness party. But I do think that there's some newness to all of this over the last 15 months. Some of us want to get back to something old. I think there's a part of me that maybe it's my 52 years part of this that I want to do something different.
You call it the pause. We got maybe a glimpse at mortality. We have a sort of, there's a,
I hope it's a halfway point, 'cause I'm 52.
There you go. I do too. I hope 52 is halfway as well, 'cause I'm 44, but it's given us some introspection. I think back to last Preakness, and I had about 4 sets of neighbors that dragged me kicking and screaming out of full-blown COVID. I'm never going outside again. And we, spaced our lawn chairs out in somebody's yard, family, and had a couple of beers and conversation, probably for the first time since, 2 months before when they shut everything down. And I needed that. They were right. And they needed to drag me out, and I'm eternally grateful for that. But to be able to get the party tent up and to get a couple of hugs in, I mean, this is going to
be. I haven't hugged anybody. I'm not ready for that yet. I'm not ready for a hug. I'm not. I haven't hugged anybody.
You are. If you feel it, I'm here. I
went to Costas last Sunday, got crabs, and I elbow bumped Stan Jablonski, and we sat 6 feet apart, and we ate from the same crab pile.
It's going to be tough. I mean, we've conditioned ourselves. It took forever to condition ourselves into the masks, to condition ourselves into staying home. And
I'm an American male. It took me 30 years to learn how to hug other men.
I'm a big hugger. the deconditioning is going to be difficult because of what we've learned all year. And I don't know that we ever fully go back. I mean, is the high five still alive? Do we hug as a greeting? I don't know. It'll take some time. It'll be awkward. There's going to be a lot of, I used to always say, the greeting of the kiss. I always thought if it was 50-50 and the recipient was younger than you, you don't go for it. And if the 50-50 and the recipient is older than you, then you go with the kiss. We're going to have to learn a lot of those rules of thumb now. Like, is this a hug situation or a handshake or a fist bump or a nod our head politely at each other? I don't know. Like, all the old rules of thumb are out the door, right?
Todd Schuller's here, Blondell Miller Schuller, and damngoodlawyer.com. He doesn't just throw Preakness parties and hang out with me with the wonderful photo of the 1976 Baltimore Orioles and cartoon caricature behind him. He also represents people. Tell me what you do real quick, and then I guess we can get into maybe the Baffert thing and cheating, because we've been talking ethics, and maybe that plays right into law and what you do in lawyers were involved this week, right?
Lawyers were involved.
With Baffert, right?
Yeah, we don't typically handle other horses peeing on the hay cases, but we do handle all of your injury cases, workers' comp, construction accidents, boating accidents, medical malpractice. If somebody is injured by the negligence of somebody else, that's the case that we want, and we can walk you through it. We don't get paid unless you recover. That is an industry standard. Nobody invented that. The back of the phone book did not invent that. But we get paid out of the recovery. All consultations are free. And I think what sets us apart, and I've said it on your air, is that we're not afraid to take your case to court. A lot of people, it's easier to get a case in, to settle it, on the cheap. We've learned that the deeper we get into litigation, the better our settlements are, the more we are willing to go to court, the better our settlements are. And we've sort of constructed our business model around that. And I think that sets us apart from a lot of the folks out there.
Your business model is that insurance companies will screw you, and we're going to need somebody like you if that were to happen.
you got to be willing to fight. The State Farms, the Allstate, they have stables of in-house counsel that are in no way concerned about spending, every other week in circuit court trying cases and winning them and losing them. And their attitude is, we might as well run them into court rather than pay settlements, because, we're going to win more than we lose. We take their model and spin it on them and say, look, if you're just going to offer us pennies, we're going to run these cases in the court, and we're going to win some, we're going to lose some, but we're going to do better by trying them than we are just settling them on the cheap. And it's worked for us. It's worked for our clients very well.
Don Shula joining us here. Damn good lawyer. They're in Essex, but they work all over the community here. I'm looking forward to get back to Essex and Pizza John's. Dutch Rupert's Burger is going to join us on a on the beginning of the Crab Cake Tour mission. At some point, Todd Schuller is going to join us as well. I think the date at Pizza John's is June 18th, I think, Todd. So you might want to write that one down. For you with the Baffert thing and loving horse racing and a guy that's gambled, you know, on horse racing, holding tickets, all of this, you know, I've started to talk to people this week about this drug and what it is. It's basically Advil for horses, but you know, in that way, every horse uses it kind of, sort of, they know they're not supposed to run it. The question is why the horse didn't pee dirty on Friday and stay out of the race, as opposed to having it happen this way. But all that being said, integrity, ethics, all the things you deal with in the court of law, I think every day, moves to the forefront of sports, right? Whether it's banging on trash cans with the Astros. But Baffert wins a lot. He's now been popped for cheating. He's made so much money that paying the fine for the cheating outweighs the glory. And that's pretty much the case. And I talked to Luke about this. Every one of those baseball players that ever went into a stall and got a needle, that ever found the drug dealer, ever had a forehead that grew, they all got to keep the money. A handful of them got their fingers wagged, and you know, we're going to shame you, and you're not going to get to have a special plaque in Cooperstown. But
which none of them gave any money back.
No championships. Say that again.
Which is garbage, by the way. You're going to tell me Barry Bonds is not a Hall of Famer?
Okay.
Roger Clemens is not a Hall of Famer.
He was a Hall of. This is where it's you just brought the two perfect people up. Both of those guys had $100 million in the bank. Both of those guys were headed to the Hall of Fame. And then both of those guys discovered the edge. Whatever that is, he's doing it. He's doing it. Johnny's doing it. I got to do it. You know, get me some needles. I got more money. I can afford the good stuff, right? And all of a sudden, Roger Clemens is 21-6 again with a 2.8, and nobody can hit him. And on and on and on, right? That went on, but unpunished. Randy Anderson still didn't cheat. Like, ask him. You know what I mean? Like, all the money, all of that never gets given back. So then the question is, you know, does cheating pay? I guess that would be the question.
What we have to do is close our eyes and pretend it didn't happen, right? We have to pretend the Fab Five didn't win, you know, the championship. We have to pretend.
Was that vacated? Did they vacate?
Recruiting violations or something. I mean,
Reggie Bush in USC. Did they?
We got to pretend that that Penn State didn't intercept Vinny Testaverde and win the Orange Bowl. Like, all of this is how do I wash this from my memory? This is not true. We don't go back and take crap away. I mean, Bill Mazeroski, the shot heard around the world was a tipped pitch. I mean, that's a known. You know, that's one of the most famous home runs in all of baseball. Is a tipped pitch. So, you know, I guess you know, everybody's all up in arms about Pete Rose, and you know, Pete Rose is probably the greatest hitter of all time, but the best baseball players of my you know teenage years, they're frozen out because everybody was doing steroids. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. Barry Bonds was the most prolific home run hitter that I've ever seen, you know, like. And he should be in the Hall of Fame for hitting home runs.
Have you been to Cooperstown?
I have not.
Okay. You're great. Then let me just get after you about this. All right. So if we all care so much about whether this guy's there or that guy's there or whatever, I mean, is there a point where you take your kids, if your kids like baseball enough to even care about who Babe Ruth is or Roberto Clemente or Willie? I mean, I'm only asking because I think this is the thing that's really gone. I mean, I thought this would last forever when I built my Nasty Nester and, you know, I should put my Oriole stadium up behind me. I thought people would always care about the legend of Boog Powell. Nah, it's gone. You know, I mean, it's just they don't even care about the legend of Cal Ripken.
Baseball.
And that's not that far. Baseball, I'm talking about, like when we talk about what your legacy is. Ray Lewis always talked about his legacy. And I think he thought his legacy was going to land him on TV and he was going to be a TV, you know, like all of that. I don't know, man. I think the minute you hang it up, whatever you made is what you made. And if I were 18 and had it to do all over again and giving me life advice on all of it, for all of these people, I would have thought that cheating, lying, stealing could be the worst thing you ever do. And then I saw Trump run the country. And still, you know, where I saw what happened to Liz Cheney the other day, for crying out loud, on your political side there. But I really do think we've, as a culture, it's an amazing thing. Forgiveness is one thing. I'll give you that we're forgiving people and I'll get through all that. But the notion that you cheat, get away with it, keep the money, keep the prize, do this and then come back. And all we get is mad on the internet about it. They get to keep everything. And that is where the Baffert thing
away,
for me.
How do you take it away?
I don't know.
Other than being silly, you can't take it away. So Baffert
bothers
me.
The Lance Armstrong thing would be the greatest example, right? Because there's a guy there that wrecked people's lives around it, right? Like a really devious son of a bitch, you know what I mean? And a cheating son of a bitch. And we all looked at him and said, he's American. He wears Yeller. He's got U.S. Postal. And look, Sheryl Crow wouldn't be with no cheater. Look at her. And, you know, so I think that there's this sheen that you know about in law where you're saying, that's Bill Cosby. He raped women, lots of them, over and over and over again. But he's the popsicle guy and, you know, Mr. Huxtable. I think that it's, American perception. It is amazing, you know, that you can recover from being nefarious in that way.
Well, I shame it. We were talking about honesty today and its importance, Simi from my office and I. And I do believe one interesting thing, and it sticks in my crawl a little bit, the lawyer jokes and the whole notion that lawyers are dishonest people, because we have ethical training. We have a law license that can be taken away at any time for dishonesty. You know, we, unlike a great percentage of the population in America, we're held more accountable. So honesty, and frankly, we trade in the rule book, right? Like, we're all about what are the rules and how do they apply? And that's our trade, basically. So I find lawyers to generally be more honest than people in the general public. And it matters to me. Like, your word is who you are, right? You have a reputation. And your reputation can be tarnished, but you also have your character. Even if your reputation is never tarnished, even if you get away with all your lies, there's a little crumb inside your brain, you know, that's going to fester.
See, I know some dirtbag lawyers too, right?
I got sued.
Yeah. You know, anybody knows Michael Hodes, you know, deliver this for me. You know what I mean? Like, so I've dealt with dirtbag lawyers. I think everybody has. It'd be the same thing if I have Dennis on talking about selling cars or used cars or, you know, having seen the Kurt Russell movie 40 years ago or whatever, right? Jack Gordon, stuff and stuff.
And the great line
radio,
too, though.
Right? Like, sports radio has been diminished because of goofs like Skip Bayless. You know what I mean? Newspapers have been diminished by this last goof that ran the country, that the media is the enemy of the people. So, like, there's all of this diminishment of the other side, whatever the other side is, right? I diminish Steelers fans professionally, as and Browns fans, but not your wife. Go ahead. I know you're on this.
No, there are always going to be powers, I think, that are pulling down at integrity, and that it matters. And there's going to be people that get away with, you know, crazy stuff. But I think
you're trying to figure out what Bob Baffert got away with, right? I mean, that would be the public, right?
Here's the Baffert. But Baffert's always been this sort of Mike Krzyzewski figure in my life. You know, he's kind of always winning, and you never really are rooting for him to win, you know, like, but you know, both of which are kind of the face of their sport, you know, or at least great ambassadors of their sport. And for him to, the reality is American horse racing is dirty and the world knows it. And it's a black eye to the sport, and it's hurt the sport's expansion. And so to take the Mike Krzyzewski figure and now make him a cheater, as opposed to just the guy you love to hate, it's awful. It's terrible for horse racing. And you know, it's the kind of thing, sports like boxing that had that dirty slide, you know, they fade And maybe it's happening to baseball. Baseball's fading, you know, and certainly.
Well, baseball's fundamentally challenged because it's not a fair fight ever, right? One team, the Yankees have the Yankees have all the guns, and you know the Devil Rays get water guns, and they have to figure out how to.
That
baseball's issue, integrity, back to greenies, and you know whatever. Luke and I hit that all the time. I don't think people don't watch baseball because they think the guys are juiced. I think it was more interesting when they were juiced. Now that they're not juiced anymore, it was better when they were. You know what I mean? And that it was more interesting when they were, as opposed to whatever this scientific MIT version of baseball is at this point. I'm not saying I wanted guys dying and Ken Caminiti and foreheads growing irregularly and Sammy Sosa becoming a Caucasian by choice. You know, all these crazy things that have happened with baseball. But I do think there's an erosion of confidence. And this is a bigger picture, Todd, because I know you love football. And I've talked to everybody about this. The premise of horse racing is the gambling part is built in, right? It was the one place you could gamble. Everywhere else, you had to have a bookie or this or that. Now baseball's in on this and football's in on this and all this. It's really dangerous, like especially when I see institutional cheating like what the Astros did, that we're now mixing money and rich people and poor people and umpires that might not make so much and a pitcher who
throws
a game, it might be worth $100,000 that night for him. And he might be in the mood because it's August and his team sucks. And, you know, like I've never bet on baseball in my life, but I start to think when you add this element in, there's that Pete Rose part of this and there's that Tim Donaghy part of this. And it only takes one cockroach in the whole thing. One person to put the cream on the horse's leg the wrong way, and Bob Baffert's got to stand out in front of people and say,
"Well, that's where the Baffert thing hurts, right?" That you, like you said, I'm less worried about the haves and have-nots. I mean, European soccer, college football, they thrive in the Appalachian State beating Michigan narrative, and you know, there's the Yankees and everybody else, you know, I think baseball can thrive in that.
Are you saying the Orioles should be relegated?
It's kind of like that. Yeah, no, but football's a totally right. 8-14 divisions. Football is 32 of the exact same thing in different colors in different cities. You know, like it is pure communism. You're right. Right. It's just like share the wealth, salary cap. Worst team gets the first pick, you know.
And 30 years later, they have the best sport that most of the people are interested in because it's a fair fight.
It is perceived as such. And I guess you could tell that to the Browns and the Bengals, and they might disagree with you because in the last 30 years, they haven't done anything. But it's been great for it. I do believe you can survive in the other model, though.
Some would call that natural selection.
I like, natural selection. Like, I'm a Navy football fan, and I like the Notre Dame game, you know? Like, we've beaten Notre Dame, you know, a handful of times in recent years, and every time it's fantastic, and it's fantastic because they beat us all the time, you know? But I don't know. Something to be said about it.
Todd Schuller, I'll be getting a crab cake with former delegate Todd Schuller, as well as Mark Miller, his partner. You can find him at Blondell Miller Schuller. You can let Mark Miller know that ever since he and I talked about baseball cards and value, it pops up everywhere. The baseball card thing is in my life. So let him know that I'll be bringing him back on, and we'll be discussing all the other cards that I gave away that I could be rich on right now. But we're having fun. It's Preakness. It's spring. We got crab cakes. And Todd, I hope that see you down at Pizza John's when I get this thing rolling and chucking and moving here this summer.
We'll be there.
Get your kids out to Antietam or something. Give them a little Civil War history. I'm gonna find a reason for you to bring the family out on this story. I'm going to have to do family day for crab cakes somewhere near the metropolitan area, all right?
Anywhere. We'll bake it.
Crawfish ahead at the Schuller Abode. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570. Make sure you're checking out Todd Schuller, Mark Miller. You can find them at damngoodlawyer.com. Also on Eastern Avenue in Essex. You hear them in the ads. You can find Todd out at the front of BaltimorePositive.com.